Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And welcome to Hockey Podcast. Oh, what was that? Was brutal. I don't know.
That was awful.
I cannot function when I wake up so early. And Eric's on a work call right now. I can see that on the video. Yeah. Anyway,
he's listening to the Blackhawks.
Oh, he's listening to the thing. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, anyway,
it's almost like you purposely tried. It's almost like you purposely tried to do shitty there. Like you were like,
oh,
we're not talking about the podcast.
I mean, that was kind of the. Okay, let me introduce this thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome episode 98 of Talking Hockey.
This is I don't understand how you've never gotten better at the introductions.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple. Visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
I don't know why you still let me do it.
We've 100 of them. And there's been no improvement.
Very little. There's still about 100 episodes. Gaps between. Welcome back to Talking Hockey.
I think there's more than 100 because we had episodes before we started listing episodes.
No, they don't exist. Those don't exist. They're not on the record.
No, they do.
Well, they do, but they're somewhere.
It's literally 98 episodes.
Anyway,
and he's tried it, and there's multiple episodes where he did the introduction like 8 times, so it's really like 400.
Yeah, probably close to that.
Anyway. It's really impressive. Someone could do something 400 times and not get better.
It almost reminds me of how many times you showed up to the podcast without headphones.
You know what, Eric? That's your girlfriend says the same thing in bed.
Wow, we're going there, eh, Ty? To be fair, Ty has had the most sex out of all of us. So
definitely.
He once said that in the group chat, and we have not let him live it down since that day.
When did he say that?
One day he just randomly said, we were having a conversation, and out of nowhere, he's just like, to be fair, I think I have had the most sex of all of us here. And
it was like mostly like, a joke.
No, it was not a joke. The delivery, the way he delivered it was not a joke. So
who was it, the group chat with like Dylan,
yeah,
Rob,
with people that have been in relationships for like 7+ years?
Yeah.
Hey, well, they haven't had sex for a couple of years now, at least.
Ty?
Me?
I know Ty hasn't had sex for a while.
Well, no, we know they're on the same footing then. But I was making a joke at long term relationships.
Yeah. Oh, they get stale.
I get it. You're that was a good one, Martin. It's true.
That was a good one.
Good one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, we have a lot to go over this week, even though it's the right now we would be looking forward to the Olympics, NHL players going there, but instead we get another All Star game.
We get to look forward to Eric Staal, team captain, triple gold club.
Oh, Eric Staal. I thought you said Eric, Eric.
I thought you meant our Eric too.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about me too.
I didn't clue into the Staal part until like 10 seconds later.
I didn't.
It was Eric Captain.
Oh, you were talking in like triplets for a bit. I was really confused.
Okay, so we were all have no idea what Martin was saying. He's on a roll today.
Yeah, we'll go over some mid-season things. We'll talk about some teams that are surprises, disappointments. Talk a little bit. There was a little thing that just came out about the Chicago Blackhawks. Now maybe we'll touch on that too.
Breaking news.
Breaking news there. But first, let's start
on Friday. It's 2 days old news. Yeah.
Well, it was breaking news for us 9 minutes ago. But we'll start off with a different sport, a little bit of football talk here. Tom Brady officially announced his retirement, and we wanted to touch on that a little bit. And
is he the GOAT?
There's no
of
doubt
not
about
just
it.
Football, but of sports.
Listen,
is he?
He started playing football when we were in kindergarten, Eric and Martin, even though you're older than us, Martin, but you were still in kindergarten when he started playing. And to play until we are now 25 years old is absolute insanity for
especially
any professional athlete, and especially football. And to be as successful as he was, and at 45 years old this year, I don't know how many of you guys watch football, but like he put up some of his best numbers of his career. There's no one
didn't need to retire.
Yeah, he could have kept playing, even with his old man legs. Right, he can barely run. Slow, but like he nearly pulled off. And I don't know if you guys watched the football a couple weeks ago, but when he got just before he got eliminated, his team was down 27-3. He brought them back to tie it, and they lost in the final play of the game, unfortunately. But he brought them back to tie it at 27 in the fourth quarter.
And some people say that's because they lost to Antonio Brown and stuff. Could be.
No,
I mean that's just like recency bias.
No,
I think
it is just like the dominance that he had. What do you have? Seven Super Bowls, six Super Bowls,
seven Super Bowls, seven five Bowls. MVPs.
And to
and he how could, many he could, did he? How many Super Bowls appeared, did he get to?
He appeared in 10.
Yeah.
So I think how many Super Bowls have there been? There's been like 100 something. He has a 1 in 10 chance of.
But since he's been in the sport, it's like 50% chance.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
Two different teams.
Yeah.
And like he has been. Just like every single team he's gone to or every single year he's been competitive. And it was annoying to watch him. It was annoying to watch the New England Patriots win. It was annoying
everyone
to,
hated
you know,
them.
And yeah, there was lots of controversy surrounding Tom Brady and, you know, cheating scandals. There was the videotape thing, Deflategate, there were the videotaping practices and everything.
Disagreement between if it's Belichick or Brady.
Exactly. Well, I think it's very clearly it was Tom Brady.
It was pretty clear it was Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, so to me, I think like Brady has the cultural fascination of Kobe Bryant with the absolute dominance of Michael Jordan. Like whenever you went and played basketball, it was Kobe, you're yelling. But I think with football, it was always, you wanted to be Brady, even though everyone hated him. He had the respect and hatred that Kobe had, but also just like the intense legacy that Michael Jordan had. And I think for that reason, I think he might be one of the greatest athletes of all time for sure. But I mean, I would put him above.
But is he the greatest?
Sure.
Is he the greatest?
The longevity of his career is, I think, what makes him the greatest.
Yeah.
And the fact that he won a Super Bowl
last year.
Yeah. Before he retired. Yeah.
And I think they very easily could have made it all the way this year, too. I mean, they had a really tough matchup against Los Angeles in their second round, obviously. But if they won that, I think it's very likely they make the Super Bowl again this year. Just a very close game.
And they could easily go next year too.
If he came back, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No. I mean,
that's the thing. He's going out on top. Like we don't know.
I mean, going out on top would have been winning the Super Bowl and then going out.
Like if he did last year,
MVP caliber year though. Like some people say, he should be the MVP. He probably won't win, but
he's up there. Yeah, like I said, he put up great numbers again this year.
So that's pretty much going out on top, almost. Yeah.
So where do you guys think he would rank? We don't have to say if he's going to be number one, but where do you think he would rank among, like, who are you going to say are the GOATs, right? So there's, in basketball, you got Jordan. In hockey, you got Gretzky. In, you know, tennis, you might have Nadal now because he's won 21.
Golf, you have Tiger.
Boxing, you have Muhammad Ali. Soccer, you probably have, depending on who you talk to, Messi, Pele, those guys.
Ronaldo.
I don't think
baseball.
He's in a good conversation.
Don't forget baseball.
Baseball.
Barry Bonds, probably.
No.
Barry Bonds, but it's very controversial.
There's no way that Barry Bonds would be considered the GOAT.
I thought people said Babe Ruth. I don't
Babe
know baseball.
Babe Ruth, yeah.
But Babe Ruth's like so old. Like,
dude, that was like World War One, okay?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, like. I mean, like, time. Mike Trout might be.
That was the next thing I was going to say.
But even though he hasn't won anything, right? He might be the best all-around player in baseball each and every year, but he hasn't. The Angels have made the playoffs once, so I don't think you can even compare. He's not even the same.
Yeah.
I think for tennis, it's caliber. Nadal's only one win above Federer and Djokovic
and Federer 20s and Nadal's 21. So it's hard for him to be in that guy in tennis, I guess, to be in the GOAT conversation. Not that, but like those three are so far ahead of everyone else.
Don't forget Serena Williams, folks.
Yeah, Serena Williams 100% the GOAT women's tennis for sure. Yeah. Like there's no doubt.
I would say that out of those athletes that you mentioned, just the only ones who would come close are the tennis guys because
Christine Sinclair for Canada. No,
I think Tiger comes close.
Well, Tiger also ever since his whole, ever since the whole cheating thing came up, like he just hasn't been the same, right?
His dominance was just so far above everyone.
And his dominance was insane.
But Tom Brady was dominant his entire career. And you're right. About Tiger Woods. You're right about Tiger Woods.
When did Tom Brady win his first Super Bowl?
Someone fact check. 2004?
No idea.
How many years into his career?
I'm going to check that one.
Fact check that.
First Super
Bowl. Because there's some players, and it's difficult to compare like some sports. Like boxers, you can't go until you're four. Most guys, anyways. You can't go until you're.
He was 24 when he won his first quarter.
He was 2 years in the
2002.
Show.
Wasn't Tiger 18 season. Or something?
Yeah. Tiger entered the game early.
Yeah. And was dominant like the entire time.
Yeah.
Until he was mid-30s probably.
And then, Gretzky was the best in the league till he left almost.
Yeah. So Brady's way above Gretzky, I would say.
Level of competition that they faced.
Yeah.
But... yeah, it's just and looking at if you're talking about the GOAT, they have to be like great for their entire careers. Okay, I think Tiger Woods and the tennis guys.
Here's what I'm curious about. Take away, again, this is a big thing, but take away Brady's award. Take away the Super Bowls and just look at, again, I'm not saying it's too good, but like take just talent. Just talent, just ability, just like ability, right?
Okay.
So let's say Brady was stuck on a crap team. Like, he's the Mike Trout of the NFL, right? He's stuck on a crappy team his entire career.
Quite often, Brady didn't have, like, top wide receivers. I mean Gronk was pretty top.
I think the stat was Tom Brady's always had a top 10 defense in the NFL, as an example.
But obviously, you need that for sure.
But
that's what I'm saying, right? Like Mike Trout, we're not going to consider in the GOAT conversation because he hasn't won anything. Right, but it's not his fault. He's been on the Angels, and the Angels suck, and made the playoffs once, despite him being insane. What if we said the same thing about Brady?
So then, why isn't Tiger just alone as the GOAT? Because Tiger can have an opinion.
And that was
on
the point. Was the point I was going to make, which is if you're gonna say GOAT, you want the guy who's literally.
But solely responsible for
his success.
But you literally could watch Brady like that Super Bowl I remember watching with you guys against the Falcons or whatever.
Yeah,
he literally dragged them back. I mean, Edelman made a crazy catch, but he literally
I was on the bus during that game.
I don't know if you can compare single player sports to team sports difficult. For this very reason, because I mean, I look at baseball, Mike Trout has very little impact on any of his teammates.
Yes.
Like there's such individual plays that it doesn't matter, which is why baseball advanced analytics were so far ahead of any other sport, is just because it was so much easier to measure and look at. You could clearly say, oh, that was that guy's fault. It's not this guy at shortstop's fault for missing a catch at first base for the most part, unless like he's directly involved in that play. So it's relevant. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think for that reason,
so
it's really
Brady's
hard
the GOAT
compare.
Of team sports.
I would say so.
Well, I want to say this. Like before he joined Tampa Bay, they were not even close to being a contending team. He instantly comes there, and they make the Super Bowl
and win
it.
The Super Bowl.
Right. Like, and quarterback is such an important. I mean, quarterback's a very important position, right? There's a reason
offense,
why they, they run the offense. And they had, and they weren't close, even with the same receiving core, even with the same defense. Tom Brady comes in, and you're instantly,
I think quarterback
a contender.
Again, it's so difficult comparing sport to sport. Like, I think nobody's gonna argue Tom Brady's the best football player of all time, but in the position of quarterback, you get more influence than any hockey player ever will.
Yeah, right?
For sure. For sure.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
The only comparable probably is the point guard in basketball.
Yeah, like and that's what I was gonna say, actually. Basketball's the only really close compare. Even soccer, there's 11 guys on the field versus five, right?
You want to talk about it? Sorry,
incredibly hard. I was just gonna say it's incredibly hard to measure like who's actually the. Obviously, Brady's the greatest of all time in football, I think, and it's really hard to expand beyond that. But I've like people always talk about Wayne Gretzky. Man, this guy was facing goalies with like no equipment. Come on, like I'm sorry, he was better than the talent way back then. But if like just the competition that he had around him was so weak.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Quality of competition, percentile. The other
thing,
yeah.
But the other thing I would say is, if you look at soccer, right? Messi has won just as many. It's not really comparable because in soccer you have league, Champions League, domestic country, cups, blah blah blah. Country, you know, football doesn't have that. But Messi's won everything there is to win, except for the World Cup, basically, as of right now. Right. Yeah. And he's gone to the Champions League. He's won 4 Champions Leagues, I believe. Yeah. 4, if I'm not mistaken. Huge roles in all of them, basically. Mm-hmm. Except one. Actually, sorry. Huge roles in 3 and minor roles.
The other thing is Messi plays like the whole game.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Tom Brady plays half the game, roughly, depending on you know how it works.
Depending on
Messi plays the full game. And he plays every game, basically.
But on defense, what does Messi do? Like, not very much.
We're getting into too many factors here, folks.
Yes.
Too many factors.
I wanted to just say, to bring it back to
hockey. I just wanted to have a GOAT conversation because I love having GOAT conversations.
To bring it back to hockey quickly, I just wanted to say there's only one player, I think, whose longevity and career longevity and dominance can be compared, and that's actually Jaromir Jagr, because I saw a funny thing the other day. He's 50 years old. I think he could still play in the NHL. It was really funny because I saw a tweet the other day of this guy who did, like, wins above – he's playing in the Czech League, by the way – who did, like, wins above replacement in the Czech League. And who's leading? Jaromir Jagr is the best player in the Czech League this year. At 50 years old.
To be fair, he does own the league, doesn't he? Like, financially? Or own the team?
He owns the team.
He owns the team.
It's really funny.
He did leave the NHL way too soon. He had another 2-3 years in him for sure. For sure, for sure.
He was kind of bullied out, though. That's a different conversation, but he was kind of bullied out.
Anyway. I never got that. Why? Like, what was behind that? I never got that because he was so clearly still...
I've heard he's a partier and he's an old dude, so you expect your old dudes to be good influences, and he was a crappy influence.
but that's when you put him on a veteran team. Like, I think he was on the Flames the year before he retired, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he got tossed around it then.
He got tossed around to a bunch of different teams. I think he ended up on Calgary and then left. And, you know, maybe Calgary didn't make sense. They had a young John, like Monahan. Goudreau. I think they had Hanifin at the time.
Hamilton.
Came later.
Hamilton.
Thank you. Yeah. So maybe that's why. But a veteran team. What if he went to like the Penguins? Like, I could get a played there.
You would. Yeah, I guess.
I think that
he played there already. Though he wanted different jerseys in his.
He could. He could have won a couple more cups with them. Literally.
Anyway,
guys like Matt Molson as old dudes.
All right, so transitioning from that Florida team.
The only point I wanted to make before Luke continues is Messi's actually the GOAT of team sports. That's the only thing I wanted to say.
Okay. Cool. But anyways, transitioning from that Florida team to another Florida team, the Florida Panthers turn everything they touch into gold.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. And now we'll get back into the show.
And I think I've mentioned that I mentioned that one day at like it was like a Friday night at like 11:30. The Panthers just won another game like 8-1 again, and then Sam Bennett had a hat trick, and I was like, damn, everything that Florida touches turns to gold. Every single player they pick up is a home run. And Martin said, Ty, go get laid. That was his response to me.
It's true. That, you should.
That's a Martin response, though, yeah. To be fair.
Hey, I've liked Florida like for a long time, man. Barkov and Huberto have been tearing it up down there.
Every
for a
single
long time.
Thing. Yeah, okay. They have Barkov, they have Huberto, they have Ekblad, and you know, they drafted those guys and developed them. But it's
guess,
the acquisitions.
Guess where the top four in points for Florida? Guess top
I have it in Luke, front of me, so I can't guess.
Okay, not Martin, Ty.
No, me.
Okay, wait,
Huberto,
Luke first and then Ty.
Huberto, obviously. Yep. Duclair.
Yeah.
Bennett and Martin, shut up. And Barkov.
Okay. And then Ty, you go.
I feel like it's Huberto, Barkov, Reinhardt and Bennett.
Okay. You were close. You missed Ekblad. But close enough. Ty was right. Bennett isn't even anywhere close. Needs 30 points at 37 games.
Which is still
top four.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is still amazing. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But Huberto, 64 points, 47 games. Sam Reinhardt, who Buffalo gave away for
a first and Devin Levi.
Yeah, Devin Levi and something else. A second
and a first.
Pick?
A first. No, it was a first.
Which is basically for free.
Which is literally nothing. It's point per game, 44 points, 44 games, 16 goals. Aaron Ekblad, 41 points, 46 games. And then Barkov, 40 points in 34 games, basically.
How many does
Barkov's
Duclair
been
have?
Injured a lot. Duclair has 35 points in 39 games.
Oh, okay.
But,
and
like, look
Carter
at these
Vahegi,
acquisitions,
37
man.
And 46.
Yeah, another
one. Yeah, so all these guys are acquisitions, right? It's just exactly to Ty's point. For Vahegi from Tampa, who I think at the time we all said he was going to light it up, but didn't know, didn't
he's like legitimately
points,
like a first line
player.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
Duclair, 35 points in 39 games is again first line production.
And Ottawa let him go. Ottawa let him go away for nothing.
Yep. Ottawa let him go away for nothing because they didn't want to sign him. Again, he's not as good as 35 points in 39 games. He gets carried a little bit by his line mates, but still incredible season. Sam Bennett given away from Calgary, 30 points
but
in
also,
37 games.
Last year, everyone was like, why are they trading for him? And they also signed him to like a 5-year extension, I think, or something like that. And everyone's like, what the heck is this about?
Yeah.
And now
he
we all look
they
foolish.
Proved everyone wrong.
Yeah.
Who's in the advanced stats department at in
it's actually they actually brought someone in and he's been huge for them, clearly, because he was actually one of the OGs in analytics. I'm blanking on his name off the top of my head, but he was like one of the OG guys in analytics, so he's clearly helped this team when it comes to the acquisitions they've been making.
Good on the GM for listening to whoever it is.
Yeah.
And this is because it was Bill Zito, who's their GM now, right? Mm-hmm. And he took over from Dale Tallon, and 2 years ago this team was like, yeah, they still had Barkov, they had Huberto, they had Ekblad, who was a little injured. They just signed Bobrovsky, who looked like, I mean, that's another huge thing as well. Bobrovsky figured out how to stop a puck again. Right.
Yeah.
That you can't downplay that. But then they brought in Bill Zito, who for the longest time, I think from like maybe 2015, I remember every single GM opening, he was, a candidate at least to get interviewed. He was a candidate mm-hmm. to bring in. He was a candidate. He was one of the finalists for the Edmonton Oilers, Imagine how different that team would be. Instead, they hire Ken Holland. Right.
By the way, the guy that's responsible, his name is Sonny Mehta.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
if I'm pronouncing his last name right, but he's one of like the OGs. His title is Vice President of Hockey Strategy and Intelligence. And he was, he was with the Devils for a while in like 2014. So he, he has a bunch of experience in hockey, but he was one of the OGs in analytics for hockey, for sure.
But
he's clearly had an impact on the organization.
And even with the, even with the Quenneville, scandal that happened in the year, he resigned midway through the year or early on in the year, and they just haven't stopped. And I mean, Mason Marchment is another one, right? The guy just put up 6 points. I mean, yeah, you don't expect these guys to all be like having career years at the same time. They're not. They're
23
all
points in 22 games, man.
Yeah, for Mason Marchment,
yep.
Who is anyway, it's insanity. And just to watch them play, it's like they don't lose, and they always find a way to come back and win. They don't lose in regulation as well. They are a little
bit. So much. Yeah. They score over 4 goals a game.
And even like, and they pick up guys, Gustav Forsling, Brandon Montour, even, man.
And Gustav Forsling on pace for 40 points right now, basically.
Like, where do these guys come from? They just like, all right.
Forsling was always an analytics starlet, to be fair. Like, but yeah.
And Mackenzie Weegar is still, you know, is a rock on D.
Their rookie, Anton Lindell, who they grabbed at like eighth overall or something like that. Maybe lower. Is on pace for 63 points right now.
But them in Colorado score like at above a 4-goal game pace, and I think the Leafs are third with like 3.6.
And this is the crazy thing.
There's a gap.
Yeah,
put up numbers.
And this that's they the get crazy scored thing on as a lot, well.
But
it's high event hockey. I watch them, and they are just like all over the puck, and they don't give it up in the offensive zone most of the game.
It'll it's be also, really interesting to see them in the playoffs because they do home, trade chances.
Yeah, the that's what I wanted to say. Their record at home versus away.
They're 23-3 at home and 9-7-5 away.
Yeah. So, I mean,
they play worse in front of, I guess, big audiences.
Yeah.
They do better at half capacity.
They get intimidated by fans.
Yeah. They like it when half their stadium's filled.
My cousin goes to all their games, and they've never lost when he's gone. So he's
They haven't lost at home anyway.
They only lose three games at home. So, I mean, good chances of them winning. So, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just like a new style of coaching. Cause like even the gap between, so this is what doesn't make sense. They have 194 goals. Huberto has 64 points. What'd you say?
Yeah. 64 points.
Yeah. So their top scorer has assisted on a third of their goals. That's actually insanely balanced offense. Like if you think about that, like what McDavid is like more than 50% of their goals he's assisted on. Like that is insanely balanced, especially
very
since
balanced.
The gap between first and second is huge in points. Wasn't it like a 20-point gap?
Yeah, there's a 20-point gap, but don't forget that Barkov's missed like 13 games or something like that.
Yeah, so
they're
even
running
that
a great offense, like
deep, deep offense, every deep line's offense. Running.
Yep.
I don't know how he's not in
forgot
consideration
they have
for Coach of the Year. Like I don't know how Andrew Brunette is not top of the Jack Adams nominees.
I think it's because what's his name? Quenneville was there at the beginning of the season while they were hot. Is my suspicion.
I mean they're still hot.
Yeah, so that's my suspicion as to why they're saying he probably just kept exactly what Quenneville was doing. Blah 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 blah.
It's so funny. I was on,
which is
kind of
a fair argument, to be fair.
It is a fair argument. I guess he can just base his strategy off what Quenneville was doing.
Yeah,
are you really
doing it
yourself?
I mean, we don't really know that, but I mean,
yeah,
you could probably.
But the other thing is, like tactics in the NHL, there aren't like. Revolutionary tactics. You know, it's player management at the end of the day. It's managing egos, making sure everyone's happy at the top of their game. It's not like, X's and O's, really.
If anything, it shows, does a like high quality coach in the NHL really matter when your team is this good?
But they weren't
like
this good last year.
Like Mike Babcock.
They were pretty good last year. They gave Tampa a run.
They were pretty good. Florida was pretty good.
And everyone knew going into the season they were going to be better this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Too.
Yes.
What I kind of taking it off a little bit, but I was in the Jack Adams Twitter sphere last year last week when there were like Gallant was nominated and everyone was like, yeah, this is so good. And so many people were like, the Rangers are just getting carried by their goalie right now.
Yeah.
All the comments were offended being like, we actually have three of the top 20 point getters and Kreider's like amazing. It's like, and they think the analytics nerds are all wrong in all this backup and stuff. I just think it's so funny. If you pointed out to that anyone how Kreider's like shooting way over his career average, the advanced stats just don't make sense to these people sometimes. I don't know. It was just a tangent.
Logic doesn't make sense to
some logic
people,
doesn't
man.
Make sense.
Yeah.
I am actually freedom convoy.
Okay, Martin.
Okay, let's not get it. Okay. We're not getting
sorry. That part. Cut Martin there.
Yeah. Okay, what's the next topic? Or do we still have more to say?
Before we move off of like Gallant, there was like a stat, and I can't find the tweet anymore, so I'm a little annoyed. But it was like in the last 200 and something.
Oh yeah, Shesterkin.
That Shesterkin has had. He's only lost like 30 games or something. It was like I remember.
I'm gonna tell you it because I remember saw
reading
that
it. Since
2014, Igor Shesterkin has played 209 games across the KHL, AHL, and NHL, and has lost 39 of them.
So he loses like 10% or 15% of his games, basically.
And yeah, he was like insane coming out of Russia. I mean, him and Sorokin came at the same time. Shesterkin's like, obviously.
When Shesterkin starts, you have a 80% chance of winning the game, basically, over 7 years of data, essentially. Like, it's so insane. Like, I can't believe they just went from Lundqvist to Shesterkin just like that. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
And so those are your mid-season surprises, I guess. No, I don't think anyone expected Florida to be that good. I don't think anyone expected New York Rangers to, you know, be in first place, even though they're getting filled in their own zone.
Yeah.
When they get their
chance. You know why Florida's really doing
points percentage-wise, they're not great. But
Florida's doing better than last year. No, because of Joe Thornton. Obviously.
Yeah, that's why. The leadership he brought to the table.
Yeah. The intangibles.
Yeah.
It is the intangibles.
I don't really think there's any other surprise other than like Anaheim. Actually, LA is doing pretty well. Calgary's cooled off from their heater earlier this year.
Yeah, Calgary's really cool. Like that COVID came at the worst time for Calgary, man. Like they were on fire and then COVID hit and they haven't fallen apart, but they're not where they were. Like it's insane what's happened to Calgary.
They are five games behind LA and 3 points behind, but points.
It's not like they're falling out of the playoff picture, but like they were really hot before COVID hit. And I don't know if that's, you lose that chemistry and that, that hot streak kind of thing when everyone's vibing or if it's
Marner was saying today,
more tired,
like,
from COVID or the whole team got it. I don't know what it is, but something changed.
Yeah, Marner was saying it's like this is the worst time for an all-star break because he felt so confident. Okay, now I want to talk about this because I think Ty has some terrible hockey takes in his life. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of his worst ones. Ty doesn't think that after Trevor Zegras pulled the Michigan last week or something, he doesn't think it's that impressive of a move because every hockey player can do it. To which point I brought up, Ty, whenever Matthews scores with his wicked wrister, you always say in the group chat, I'm so hard right now, I might come. So, I mean...
And how many players score from wristers every year?
How many players can consistently do what Matthews does?
Ty, I have seen so many players score with a wicked wrister like Matthews, no one does it
as consistently as Austin Matthews does.
I know.
But Trevor Zegras could do that pretty consistently.
And so can Svechnikov, and so can Mikhail Granlund.
Why doesn't it happen then? Why doesn't it happen?
It does.
Also Zegras's one was different than normal. It was done at speed, which I think is
gorgeous.
Different. And
I guarantee if Matthews did that or anyone on the Leafs did that, Ty would
Matthews
flip
has tried
over his
to do
TV.
It and failed.
Yeah, I would not be flipping out. I would be like, all right, that's great.
But Matthews tried to do it and failed, so I don't even see his point.
Exactly. And I would never be like, oh, that's the sickest thing in the world. It's not what I mean to say is that it's not that impressive. that players can put a puck on there and
when I thought you were bringing up Luke was Ty's point on how he hates it when Marner scores for his bad hockey takes.
Oh, that also pisses me off. I honestly, like when he scores, I like roll my like fuck this guy. I hate this guy.
Getting back to the Michigan, I do agree with Ty. Like the one where you're standing behind the net and you just go like do that, it's not as impressive anymore considering how much is being done and how many
thank you, Martin. Yeah, it's not just
but
me.
But you're saying how much it has been done, as in like there's like 30 goals.
But like kids are practicing.
How many of these goals have actually happened? But how many times has it happened at the
NHL practice
level?
Their wrister, Martin? What's your point?
That's what I'm saying. Doing it in the NHL against an NHL goalie against a guy that's 6'7" and freaking
still good to do.
Fast reflexes. It's a lot nicer of a goal. Just scooping it up and doing that.
It's nicer of a goal to like snipe at top corner to me, man. That's all I'm trying to say.
But it used to be, Eric, also that no one really thought about it as a potential move to bring it up on your stick and go boom into the net.
Yeah.
Okay, but you want to make a bet on the next 3 years, how many people are going to score from a sick wrister versus how many people are going to score from a Michigan?
That's my point. Well,
Michigan will become – I bet it's – Michigan's a pretty defensible thing.
All you have to do is knock the puck off the guy's stick. Like, it's not that hard.
All you have to do is deflect the shot on a wrister stop it.
That's false. And here's why. Because if you want to do that, you have to follow the player behind the net. In most cases, if you follow the player behind the net, it's the defenseman that's going to have to do it.
You can be standing still, right there. How about this? The goalie learns how to stop it.
If you're going to try to avoid,
also couldn't just stand there and be like,
no, yeah, but no. You don't know that's coming. But the whole point is, if you want the player, the reason why it's an effective play is because if you want the defenseman to interfere with it, the defenseman has to lead from the front of the net and follow the player behind, which leaves space open in the front. Otherwise, they don't, and it leaves the ability for that player to go around and do the Michigan.
If the goalie's too focused
on trying to avoid the Michigan, he's leaving the other side of the net open for a cross-seam pass. Yes. That's why it's an effective
play. Zegras' one last week is very impressive, and if it is continued to be done, it probably won't be because it can't be done often.
Yes.
But the
That's
standing,
the whole premise of
no, but the standing still one is not as impressive.
Agreed.
Anymore.
But most things are not impressive.
It's not as impressive, but it's still more impressive than
how many
any
times
wrestler.
Do we still drop our jaw when Ovechkin scores from the exact same spot that he scored just 500
I don't drop
goals?
My jaw. It's just like, oh.
I don't drop my jaw.
Ty, I have watched you. I have actually been in the room with you while Matthew scores the exact same goal that he always scores. You stand up and are almost pulling down your pants. You get so hyped. You put your hands over your head and you react with your entire body and heart.
And
do
I
not
wouldn't do the same
this.
Thing. And I if would
Matthews,
not do.
If a Matthews scored in a Michigan style goal, you
would I
would
not do that. I know I would not. And I know
just like
that
how
fact,
you know if the Leafs scored the Stanley Cup, you would never care about the Leafs ever again,
I,
right?
I wouldn't. I literally wouldn't. I don't know how many times I need to – I don't know how I can prove it to you unless the Leafs win the cup. Like, I will not care. It's like Adam this year doesn't care that the Habs are last place and bottom of the barrel. Even
in 10 years, will he care?
No, because he's just going to be like, this is the best – that was the best playoff run I've ever seen in my life.
So he's satisfied with one win for the rest of his life?
He is satisfied.
It didn't even win. They only just
what
got
are you
there.
Talking about win. He's satisfied to be close.
Well, no, like, for the rest so, of like, his life. Yeah, like honestly, like I mean, okay, like maybe not for the rest of my life. I think what I said was for the next decade, I wouldn't care. Right. Okay. I think I didn't say for the rest of my life. I said for like the next decade, it would not matter to me. They won the cup. That's all I've ever wanted in my life. All I've ever wanted in my life is a deep playoff run.
I've known you for 11 years. I've known you for more than a decade, and I just don't believe that for an ounce of a second.
That I would not be like if they signed. I don't know if they signed Nick Ritchie to a 5-year extension after winning the cup this year. I wouldn't care.
Oh my god!
Right?
Okay. Anyways, I don't care about this conversation
anyways,
anymore.
Ty's a psychopath.
Ty's an idiot. We get it.
I just think every single time you see like a between the legs goal.
Between the legs
like
is also not that impressive.
In
I
Forsberg,
can do it.
Ty, stop while you're ahead. Stop. You're not even ahead. Stop while you're already so far behind. Just stop.
Like, Forsberg has been done so often.
I love you, but no.
Listen. The first time the Forsberg was like ever done, it was like the top play of the year. Now it doesn't even make like your top 10 plays of the week if someone does it.
I don't know. I mean, I definitely think it loses its charm for sure. Yeah. But I think it's the same with I've never lost the charm with the Matthews wrister. But at the same, I still think it would be very impressive if more people scored the Michigan.
everyone can do it, but not everyone can, because only two or three people have ever done it in the NHL.
Yeah, it's like the behind the leg, it's in between the legs rule. Like,
which is,
yes, again, anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. Not in anyone can do it in the NHL.
The defenseman from the NHL, from the New York Rangers that did the...
Yeah, Merrick Malik, the first one who like ever did that. Yeah. One of the first.
Like, that guy's a bum. Yeah. He did it. Like, it's not that special.
He's a 6'8" bum.
But doing it, like a... but doing it in the NHL.
He did it in the NHL.
Did it in the NHL.
That's what I'm saying. That is impressive, but even if you did it multiple times, it's more impressive than doing it at one-off.
Mitch Marner did it last night. Did anybody even notice that?
Yeah, like, it was just another highlight.
He didn't score on it, but like, he tried to go through the legs, and if he scored, it would have been like, oh, that's great, it's 8-1.
The highlight was actually on there because of the pass from Matthews, I believe.
Yeah,
it was more impressive.
Anyways, I still think you're wrong. I think you're delusional.
Yeah, okay, Martin, someone agreed with me. You'll love to see
things
it.
Things lose their luster. Is all.
I think they lose their luster.
That's exactly it, Martin. You're exactly right. Thank you.
I'm just saying, Ty never loses his luster whenever the Leafs score.
You want to hear my controversial take as well?
Yeah.
Now that we have time to settle on Trevor Zegras, when he did that insane assist, he flipped the puck over the net. That's it.
I knew I was gonna go
he
there.
Flipped the puck over the net. Congratulations.
Well, he did fake the Michigan first. He acted then, like he was going to Michigan.
And then he flicked his wrist.
Creativity, Ty.
It's creative.
We like creativity.
It's definitely creative.
Anyone, if you take it as just like the basic component of, okay, he just flipped a puck over the net.
Apparently,
okay.
The other thing would be, if they had practiced that before, it would be less impressive. But I heard Ryan Getzlaff was on 32 Thoughts podcast and said, they had not been practicing that or anything. So it's like, just came to Trevor Zegras that, hey, I'm going to fake the Michigan and it's not going to work right here. I can tell it probably won't work. So I'm going to just flip it over the net and hope this guy fucking tags it in.
It's impressive because of the creativity, but also like, so many things have to go right.
Yeah.
Definitely. For that to happen.
Yeah. And then you have to have the balls to do it in the middle of a fucking game.
Because you can easily get benched. He's a rookie.
Know
he could have gotten benched.
You know what it is? It's like, any player in the NHL can do a lot of this stuff. Nobody's denying that, right? And there's this great story of, who was it? I think it was Darnell Nurse and Roman Josi, and they're both at the same training camp. And someone was watching them play, and Darnell Nurse during practice is fucking running the show. He looks sick. His puck carrying skills are amazing. He looks amazing. And he's even looking better than Roman Josi. They start playing a game, like a 5-on-5 game between everyone. And suddenly Darnell Nurse looks like normal Darnell Nurse. And Roman Josi looks fucking amazing. It's a different thing when you take it and apply it to an actual game. Roman Josi's puck carrying ability might look fine in practice. Second you put him in a game situation with his game smarts and his IQ, creativity, whatever else you want to fucking call it, that's when the players shine.
So I just think Zegras Ty doing, doesn't like
Zegras flipping a puck over the net, who the fuck cares?
Ty doesn't like
doing
Zegras.
It in the middle of a game and all those adjustments, that's impressive.
Once Ty doesn't like anything, someone, that is once Ty doesn't like something, he will go out of his way to continue not liking it.
Listen, I was playing when I was 14 years old, I was playing ball hockey and someone did the same thing. Okay. That's all I'm trying to say.
Man, it was ball even hockey, more, that's even, so easy.
You dude,
just,
no, no, no.
Just Martin, cross it over.
It was even more impressive. The guy took the puck. He was at the side of the net. He took the ball.
You mean
the ball. Sorry. Yeah. He took the ball.
Ball is so easy.
No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He took the ball. He put it off the glass behind the net. And bounced it out in front, and then the guy like whacked it in like baseball style. It was like the most insane goal I ever saw in my life. But anyway, someone did that one. Dude, let's see that in hockey, okay?
Okay, that's also really. I don't even know.
My ball hockey league, you couldn't bring your stick above your like waist or something. So how'd they manage the?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. He just took it and he just tapped it like that. Whatever.
I've played ball hockey with people, and my jaw has dropped from stuff that I'd be able to do. Imagine if I was anywhere near an NHL player.
Well, I would have been in the NHL. Talking
with a couple of idiots like Ty.
I see these guys doing like the stick and puck tricks and just balancing it and like tossing it up, and I'm like,
yeah, when they're doing that thing where they're bouncing it and like pushing their stick in like warm ups and shit.
My
that
jaw drops.
So impressive.
Yeah,
they put glue on their stick.
That's it.
Okay, so we'll move off that topic now. Something that was interesting.
No pressing tie.
No,
it's not allowed.
Unless it's the Leafs and Matthews,
or Kasha.
The person who does, Andre Kasha. Yeah, when he does something, man, get him to that 7-year extension, Dubas, please. 7 by 2.5.
Every time Kasha scores, 7-year extension, Dubas.
Kasha's part of the top four, right? That's what they
the
mean.
Core four.
I've heard that joke. I've heard that joke about 17 times now.
And Eric agrees with me, so that's how I know it's true.
a kind of interesting partnership in the business world was Matthew signs with Bet99 for apparently a 3 or a 9-figure. No.
Seven figure deal.
And very interesting. Apparently he's not going to be in like commercials. He's not going to be in ads. He's not going to be like,
no, he is
someone they brand. No, he's not.
He's for the free site. I thought he was like advertising free site,
but he's not going to be in ads or anything like that. It's just gonna be like very low key advertising, which doesn't really make much sense. I don't know what it's
because they're paying him high seven figures to not advertise.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't really make much sense. But they said, like the article I read said something along the lines like he's not going to be using ads like that. What is it? WWE guy, MMA guy. That
St. Pierre.
Yeah, yeah. He's not going to be like that. Sure, he's going to be like a low profile.
I was reading in 32 Thoughts. I swore I was reading that he's like just not going to be like holding the logo or anything like that. And it was for like more so the free site because they're like a lot of sports betting sites have like the actual betting.
Yeah. And then free, another one has like the
free, free to play betting.
Yeah. To get people addicted to gambling.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So he's not going to be responsible for making people gamble. He's going to get maybe
the company plans to be very conservative with how it portrays Matthews in ads. He will not be featured in the same way that George St. Pierre is by holding up a phone. Additionally, while the link in St. Pierre's marketing is to the company's pay site, Matthews will only link to the free to play site.
Right.
He's the first active NHLer to sign with a betting company, any betting company, but he won't be the last. So interesting.
It's going to be a huge market for the NHL. It's going to be absolutely massive.
How do they balance that? They work for a betting company, but aren't, I mean, obviously there's got to be policies in there and stuff, but like, how do they balance that? How does the, like, would the NHL be involved at all with a deal like this to make sure that it's,
I bet ethical? They had to get approval and stuff from
it would be involved
the
totally
player association. Be, I guess. And there's no way they didn't have to get approval like for a billion different things before that deal was signed. Cause it's the first one.
I bet the NHL had its lawyers look over the agreement and stuff, like
probably
for sure.
The Players Association did, the NHL did, because
Austin Matthews is the NHL's property, basically, like essentially, or the Maple Leafs' property, but like in total, the NHL's property
for sure. Yeah, and it's only going to be like the way his deal is structured. It's going to be how every NHL player in the next couple of years is going to be. The same thing, right? Like, this is going to be a huge new market for NHL players. They get on TV more and everything like that. It's not something that's going to grow the game. It's just going to get more money into gambling companies' pockets, which, you know, may or may not be good for hockey, depending on how you feel about it.
It could probably grow the game. Like,
grow the game.
NFL betting's huge, and it's a huge reason people follow the NFL.
Sure,
is because you can
I agree. But I think there's also so many options out there, and the reason people can bet on the NFL is because it's such a,
I make one bet a year.
Super Bowl is cultural, right?
I make two bets a year on who's going to win the Stanley Cup and who is going to win the Super Bowl.
That's healthy. That's really healthy. If I can't do that, because if I start betting, I don't stop betting.
I find it fun. Like, you don't bet until, like, for the NHL, I'm more confident, so I bet at the start of the playoffs, and for the NFL, I bet, like, before the Super Bowl happens.
I get that. No. Anyways, I don't have much to say about it, because we don't have many details on the deal, and it's only one player, but it's going to be huge. Over like there's so many players all the high end players are going to get on that stuff really quickly, and then the lower end players, they're going to start having affiliate links and minor partnerships with their smaller fan. It'll just trickle down, right? It's going to start with all the stars, and then go down to the lower end players that have, you know, 200,000 followers, 100,000 followers, 50,000 followers versus however many Matthews has, a million or whatever.
We can first talk about Canada basically making the Olympic.
They got to win. They got to win this tonight.
The World Cup.
Costa Rica is going to come in. Costa Rica's one
point
behind Canada.
Let's not jinx it. Let's just let it happen. And then
John Herdman, Prime Minister Alfonso Davies.
And it's the greatest thing
that
ever happened to Canada since I've been alive, basically. Canada making the World Cup is bigger to me than Canada having won the gold medal in hockey.
Where's the game being played tonight?
For sure. I don't even think it's close.
Oh, we're spoiled with the
yeah,
gold
I don't even think it's
hockey close.
I was so hyped about, you know, them winning in 2010, 2014, whatever. So hyped, but
how many times have they won the gold medal in hockey in our lifetime?
Two, three.
Well, they went to the Olympics four times and they won it three times, right?
Yeah.
Three times, NHL players. They won 2002. Well, 1998 they didn't. We were alive, but they didn't win then. So I guess they made it five times and they won three. 2002, 2010, 2014.
Our soccer team in the highest competition, and we're about to
Hopefully.
The last time was 1986. Supposedly.
That's amazing. And it's the team's actually like
the team could.
Good.
I think they could surprise.
Yeah.
It'll be
that's the difference. It'll be like, fun to watch them.
People are saying we have the two best CONCACAF players around, and those two are pretty close to some of the best players.
We have some of the best players in the world, which is insane to think about. If you ask me,
and they're 21
years
old.
Ago, if
and
Canada,
they're young, yeah,
they're young. It's like we have them for a decade plus.
Yeah,
it gets insane.
Like when you're looking at this team and they were building it, like they were kind of being built to for the next World Cup in 2026, because that's going to be in Canada and the USA anyway, right?
Yeah.
So when that comes around, imagine how good Davies and David and whoever else is coming up.
Yeah, they're prime.
So is Davies not on the World Cup team, or
he is? No, he got COVID and then he had myocarditis.
Heart problems. Yeah.
So he's not in this round of games, which is they just
have you seen his reaction videos?
Yeah.
He looks so hyped.
I'm
watching him like, you're gonna give yourself a heart attack.
All right.
This guy's flipping out.
And like they,
I'm
want
sure he has a watch or something that tells him he knows.
Like so I saw the goal that he scored against Panama like live. I saw it like right. He was running down the sideline right in front of me, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be insane. And I was like, the
man,
best player.
Man, David's
I've ever
pretty
live.
Good.
Jonathan David's good.
Holy fuck.
That guy's
exciting.
I'm so excited. Anyway,
I can't
talk about Chicago
anyways, back
quickly.
To,
Transitioning to
what's
Chicago.
The guy's name? He has an awful, stupid name. I don't like his name.
Yeah,
the
it's
owner.
A stupid name. When you said
Rocky,
that.
Rocky Wirtz or something. I don't know. Fucking dumb
I mean,
name.
He's like a billionaire, so we can't laugh too hard at him. But like, goddamn, man, that's a bad name.
Goofy ass name. Fucking, you're a billionaire. Change your goddamn name. You can
you probably changed it to that.
Yeah, he thought it was cool.
Who's named their kid Rocky?
Okay, guys, shut up. There's literally movies made about it, okay? there are some of people's favorite movies of all time. So to set this up, the Chicago Blackhawks had like an open hall town meeting type conference tonight. And it was with Rocky Wirtz and three other people from the Chicago Blackhawks organization.
Rocky Wirtz is the president or the chairman / owner.
Yeah. And I think he's one of the owners. I don't know how it works. But basically what happened is this was supposed to be a time where they could ask any questions about the future or the past, whatever. And Mark Lazarus from The Athletic asked about Kyle Beach and what they're doing today and in the future. He didn't ask them to like re-bring it up and say, you know, he wasn't trying to bring up
the past in that sense. He was just trying to say, what are you doing now and what are you doing in the future? And the tweet that was quoted was, to avoid those situations. The tweet that was like kind of quoted going around Twitter is, we're not going to talk about Kyle Beach. We're not going to talk about 2010. We're moving on. But if you actually watch the clip and the video of it, people were like, this has got heated. I'm like, the first 20 seconds were not that heated when Rocky was saying those things. But he's like, I'm not answering your question. We're moving on. Ask something else. Like, then he got really defensive. Like, the actual, like, we're not talking about Kyle Beach. We're not going to talk about 2010. That makes a lot of sense to me. But what it was, what he said after was, like, way worse.
Yeah. Like, when Luke said it was bad, I was like, ah, how bad can it be? And I listened to it, like, while Ty was doing his stupid introduction.
Because all the repeaters, I was like,
Jesus Christ.
All the reporters were saying it was really heated. And I was like, 20 seconds in, I'm like, this isn't heated. And this is the quote they were talking about saying it was heated. And then he's like, stop asking about the past. We're not answering those questions. We're not answering those questions to people outside the organization. If you're in the organization and ask that question, we'll tell you. But we're not sharing that with you. And then one of the guys on the panel was about to say, he's like, actually, I'll handle it. And he's like, no, we're not talking about it. Like, the guy shut him down.
It was intense.
And everyone on the panel was kind of like,
Jesus Christ.
I was like, everyone on the panel being like,
it was uncomfortable.
I don't know. It's just more proof that Chicago, I mean, until this point, it sounded like Rocky, his actual real name. So I'm looking at the caption on the feed, W. Rockwell, in quotes, Rocky Wirtz. So Rocky's his nickname.
Stupid.
His first name is W, and his middle name is Rockwell, and then his last name's Wirtz is what it looks like. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where Chicago goes from there. I don't know what's happening, but man, everyone's upset with that response.
Yeah, it was a bad response. I mean, I don't have like too much to say about it. It was just like, if you do have a chance, just go watch it. That's all.
Oh, wow. I just watched it. Yeah, that's fucking.
Yeah.
That's it's bad, rough. Man.
Like, Luke, we aren't even like explaining how like
no
bad.
I don't know how to explain it.
Like, it's just awkward, and it's like
it's just very defensive.
No, and it's too defensive. Like, it's like, it why so are you defensive. So defensive? Like,
yeah. Like, there's no reason to be that defensive.
And you can't really talk about it because of that. But, like, fuck, man. Court's public record. Like,
the thing is, like, it wasn't even
a difficult
question. It's a layup question. You just say, oh, we just reviewed stuff internally. And, you know, we're making some changes internally to make sure that everything gets reported
in a manner
that gets,
it's not a good
gets
look
up about, to people up that can topic. Manage it, and we're creating a system so that anyone that has any issues can report it anonymously or something. Yeah. Or, you know, he can make up shit that's like so basic that you don't need and end it there, and no issue, no news cycle, you're fine. Again, it's like no NHL team has a PR department. Like, the NHL doesn't have a PR department. Like, anyone with a half a brain could have prepped them to say something like that.
Yeah,
you know, like a question period coming up. Someone's gonna mention the sexual assault stuff. Like, it's gonna happen. Here's your answers. Here's three answers, depending on the questions you're gonna ask. Say something along these lines. Don't be stupid. Just stick to the script. Like,
I feel so bad for Chicago's PR person. Like, first Kane and Taves after, like, the first day after Stan Bowman got fired. Stan Bowman, like, their PR, whoever they have, either is not doing media training very well, or is just shaking their head their head because of, like,
what do you do? Like, that guy doesn't sound like he listens to people at that point. Like,
well, when you're like as rich as these people are, you just like want to do your own,
you're not used
shit
to
sometimes. Yeah. It's like your ego gets in the way.
This is what people don't understand. Everyone in positions of power wants to hold on to positions of power. It's a fundamental human trait.
And that's fine. He can still hold on to power and just give the right answer. Like, fucking
he did it very poorly. God. Let's say he made himself look worse than he needed to.
But I'm glad he did it, because we can actually see, like, this is
how shitty
this is what it really is.
Yeah, this is
what he really is. He isn't like the standard PR response, but like, it's just like it's an unforced error. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to use a sports metaphor, right? Like, it's just an unforced error. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah. That's it, really all I had to say. The reporters in the atmosphere are going off on it again. Every single time a Chicago executive speaks, they go viral for all the wrong reasons. But yeah, that's really it for this week's episode. Anything else anyone wants to add? Nope. Aaron O'Toole is no longer the conservative leader.
Nope.
Ty doesn't want to mention this at
the
all.
The citizens of Ottawa losing their minds.
Nope.
Okay.
The truckers are pissing off very rich people, let's say.
Yeah. Well, enjoy. We're going to move and enjoy the episode, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.